Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy. I host the show, and today I have another exciting guest. Her name is Lois Hartwig, and Lois, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm pleased to be here.
Great. Now, Lois, you talk about yourself being a channeler, a medium, and a metaphysical teacher, but that's not really where it all started, is it?
No, I don't think so. It was not at all an intended pathway in my conscious mind. I certainly had a different type of career in which I worked in the film industry, and that was my main focus and the direction I thought I was taking for my life.
And even before you started with the film, you did something that a lot of people write about now wish they could do. What did you do with, in the political world?
I worked at the State House in Massachusetts for a year, and it was my first job, and it was quite an introduction into the world. And then I, at a later point, worked for the mayor in New York, and at a later point after that, the governor of New York. So these were directions that I took that I really thought I wanted to be in, but they started to change, you know, as the years went by. The excitement or the energy that was involved at one point dissipated or changed in years later, and I eventually went back to film because I found it to be far more creative, and it seemed that my skills were better utilized there.
Now, while you were working on a film location, though, there was a strange rash that appeared on the back of your leg. So tell us a little bit about that, please.
Okay. This was a movie that was a very lengthy project that I've been working on for a long time. And, most of the films that I worked on were, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 months. But this was going on to around 13 months, which is a very long time. And we were out in California on a location, and most of us were totally exhausted. And at some point, I ended up with this rash that I thought would go away once the project was over, but it did not, although it disappeared at some point. But what happened was I was left totally exhausted. And my attempts to find some sort of solution, going to doctors in both Los Angeles and New York, which is where I lived at the time, and a few other places, brought no results whatsoever. And it turned out in the later years later that this was named as chronic fatigue syndrome, and it really changed the whole course of my life, certainly changed my career and my abilities to function in life, and had a great deal to do with precipitating this spiritual seeking and journey that I've been on ever since.
Do you think that the illness may have happened to you to make you take more note about kind of where you should be and not forget about, you know, what's really been going on inside of you?
Yes. I think there are a number of different reasons why things happen, and I don't always give it one answer. But I would say overall that there were many things that needed to be cleared in my being, that I was not conscious of, that are part of, you know, our soul's journey. And these things had an opportunity to come to the forefront. But at the same time, it was really for me to start finding ways to begin to access those aspects of myself, which I hadn't recognized or realized or understood or, you know, even gave thought to. So when you have a life in which you've been very, very active and I'd say relatively successful, comfortably successful anyway, and then suddenly find that every aspect of your life that you have known or participated in is no longer viable or possible, you get to a point of having to really examine everything about yourself, because there are you don't have any other directions to go. It's really going within, and it's going to the center and core of your being. It took me a long time to accomplish that, but it certainly was the direction that I had to take, and it ultimately was for me a surrender to this greater aspect of self and to, let's just say, higher consciousness.
When you were a child, you were very sensitive to a lot of things that were going on around you.
Yes.
And yet, kind of like today, although we're better at this, it kind of got pushed aside. So all your knowing, you know, all the feelings that you had were constantly kind of put off to the side, and everybody looked for achievement, basically, you know, whether it's like scholarships or whatever the case may be. So can you think back as a child, and if you can you give me and the listeners a little bit of idea of how it felt as a child when you knew that inner part of you was kind of being, you know, shoved off to the side, only to find out at a later time, like now and when it all started again, that it was going to come through no matter what?
Well, I think as a child, there's a sense of feeling rejected, or that what you are feeling is unimportant in the realm of adults or in the realm of, in the scheme of how people think. I would phrase it today as not having been heard. But I also think that this is part of a thread that may exist for a long period of time for many people who end up becoming channels, because I think that there is a there's a connection here somewhere in which one is able to express themselves in a different manner by working as a channel or connecting in a deeper way than trusting just, let's say, one's own ability to be able to talk. Because as a child, there were so many ways in which that part of me was negated. So in a way, I think that it set me up once again to resolve an aspect of this part of myself. But as a child, certainly, I didn't know that, and I felt that many of the things that I thought or came to mind, which my parents thought were ridiculous, I either didn't agree with them or they got pushed to the background. There certainly was no one to talk to them about. So it doesn't give you a good sense of yourself, because there's a part of you that needs to come forward, that, you know, the wholeness of our being, and you start, it's like working on, you know, three cylinders, and the fourth one is kind of shut down.
Mm-hmm. Do you think a lot of kids actually have gone through a lot of the same thing that you're now explaining?
Absolutely. I mean, we have so long lived in a society where this has not been, I can say not been accepted, but it's just not even known enough to be accepted. We don't live in a culture in which an ongoing aspect of one's soul is particularly acknowledged or spoken about or part of our religious culture. And I don't think that a lot of people look at their children from the perspective that they are souls in trust, you know, that they've been entrusted to you to be developed and brought into the world in such a way that they're able to explore their greater being. Very often it's about whatever the rules and regulations are that one needs to know to be able to exist in this society. So it depends on the individual people, and obviously it's changing, and certainly with some of the new children that are coming in now, there's more understanding in certain circles, you know, in some of the more spiritual or new age kind of circles. I think that people are acknowledging that the indigos and the crystals are here, and they need attention, and they need to be developed in many ways.
Yeah, not drugged.
That's right.
Now, you also talk about how when your illness kind of overtook you and you basically lost everything and you couldn't walk and you couldn't think straight, you finally turned to prayer, and then that opened up a whole bigger world for you.
Yes. You know, it's kind of a funny thing when you get to a point in which everything that you've known and every way that you have managed to function in your world no longer is possible. You know, something simple like almost getting something to eat, being able to walk from one place to another. When all of these things change, you need to find some way to be able to frame this, to be able to access some part of yourself, because you realize you still have your same value, you still have your same worth, you still have your same essence that's present. And so the question then becomes, what is important? How does this manifest in the world now? Or does it? You know, the question of, do I leave? Is it time for me to go? Is it, have I finished something here? It doesn't feel finished. And there was sadness around all of the, what I perceived as loss. And so the only place left to go really was to pray and to ask for assistance and help with this. Because there were all the tools that I'd known, all the ways I'd functioned in the world were gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't there to support me, and they weren't, they were ephemeral. That's probably a good way to put it.
And when you turned to prayer, what happened to you after that?
I think initially nothing, which sounds like a strange thing. And when I say nothing, I'm saying that from the perspective that I wasn't able to perceive very much about this. However, what did actually occur over a period of time was that at one point, it occurred to me that maybe I needed to listen to a response. I had usually thought in terms of prayer that there would be something that would happen to me as a result of prayer. For example, you know, I mean, if you have a headache and you're praying that it will go away, then the anticipation or the hope is that that's what will occur. In fact, what would be more likely would be that there would be a thought that would come into my mind that I might need to do something or release something or observe something or remain quiet and still in a certain space so that I was able to change something myself. And so it was really the process of learning more to listen to what I was receiving as a result of prayer. And as I began to grasp more of that and could incorporate whatever that small change might be, over a period of time, I might be able to take a step or two more than I could have done the week earlier. And as I was able to then make more connections within my being, then there would be other things in the quote-unquote outside world that I could then embrace or undertake. You know, it might be that I could actually get to a healer that week, or I might be able to go to a church service that week, or I might be able to read part of a book that was helpful to me, whereas at a prior time I wasn't able to do any of that. So things would come into my world as I was starting to integrate on a higher level some of what was being presented to me. And it's a long process, and I don't mean to make it sound like it happened 1, 2, 3, because it didn't. It took me a long time. And it took me a long time to get to a point of just even writing this down and starting to journal a great deal of what was coming through.
Now, did you write a book about all of the experiences?
No.
But you journaled about all of them.
I know. I journaled a great deal. I've got more than I could go through to even do a book. I couldn't think about going through all of that again, I don't think. But I did write a book at a later point, and it was much more about the time that we've been in and we're coming into, and in some cases, perhaps, what's ahead. And that was a little bit later. You know, it came because I'd been doing a lot of journaling prior to all of that.
Do you think a lot of people get messages like all the time but aren't quite either ready to hear them or they don't know how to quiet themselves to hear them?
Yeah. Well, we have, you know, it's funny. I was at a number of years ago, I was at this concert, and it was sort of, I think it was Indian music that we were listening to, and I was looking around, and as this concert went on and on and on, everybody was going to sleep. And I thought, this is the oddest experience, watching everybody sleeping. They must all hate this music. And I was feeling sleepy myself, and so I sort of asked what this was about, and I was told that the music is a different kind of music, and that these musicians are playing it in such a way that this is the expected result. They're bringing in a particular kind of energy, and that people are being relaxed and able to connect to themselves in a different manner, and in fact many going to sleep. And it was something that was very clear to me, that there's a great difference between Eastern and Western society, just in that little tiny example, that it was desirable to be able to go to sleep or to go within or to rest or be peaceful with this, whereas we would normally be extremely attentive and talk about every note and everything that, you know, was occurring during that concert. It also, we are a culture that is very involved with media and fast-paced things and the outside world. We're not a culture that has been really indoctrinated to spending time within ourselves. And so I think that it becomes difficult. And we're in a process of transformation as we're going through this. I think more and more people are waking up to doing yoga practices or doing meditation or even learning to listen more to their hearts and to spend time in the intuitive aspects of their being as opposed to the logical aspects. It's still not completely accepted in this country, but it is a direction that we're integrating to some degree.
Yeah, it's getting closer. We're not there yet, but we're getting closer. I often tell people to slow down, just slow down and breathe. You know, take some nice deep breaths, let yourself relax, because like you said, in this fast-paced world, we're not. We're like nervous wrecks. The stress level is high. Our worry level is high. You know, we get up, get the kids ready for school, go to work, come back home, fight traffic. You know, do all that kind of stuff. And by the time you come back home, you're actually too tired to rest.
Yeah.
And people have a hard time with that idea. But, you know, if they would just, you know, take time when they first get up, start their day off right by taking some really good deep breaths, clearing out their whole head, not listening to the news first thing in the morning because it's not usually very good stuff, you know, and start their day off a little bit better, then maybe they would be able to start to listen to what their inner being is trying to tell them throughout the day.
Yeah. Well, and I think as well we have a world in which if you have gone to school and you have some idea about a career that you want to have, well, many of these careers are oriented in the city, so that at certain times, you know, in certain ways, people are commuting. People are going through a whole process before they even get to work. And there may not be, in many people's lives, the same connection with nature and that place of stillness and that place of bringing that in, which allows also for a sense of making deeper connection. You know, and I think we did live that kind of a life, you know, many, many years ago more easily than today.
Oh, I think without a doubt that's true. Now, you're also considered a channeler. When did you first start channeling?
Well, I'm not exactly sure. I would say that, you know, there's a point in which doing journaling that you begin tapping in more and more in a deeper way. And this particular process, I can't remember where it went from what I thought were my own thoughts to, let's say, expanded thoughts. mm-hmm. or my higher self and or of others that might be coming in with levels of guidance. But I would say in the mid-80s it was the beginning focus of this. And I had a guide who came forth many years ago in which I was really attempting to do this. There was a woman who was a healer, and she and myself and another woman were working together. We met at least once a week. And she was the wife of a minister, and they had lost their son in an automobile accident. And he used to come through to her, and she would write down the many things that he had to say, and it would be about the community, it might be about our little healing group, it could be about their family and any other type of thing that he wanted to talk about. And I would often go to her house thinking, oh, I'd love to get a message. I wonder if he has something to say about me today. And occasionally he would, but it finally occurred to me, I wonder if I could do this. And initially, I mean, it was kind of a silly thing because I thought, well, I don't have a son that would talk to me like that in that given situation. And so I thought, I don't know whether this would work, but I did know about automatic writing, and I decided that I was going to try this practice. And so I would sit there and meditate and get quiet and see if I could come up with anything. And I did. I got this these letters that were made no sense to me initially, but it turned out to be the name of my guide. It's just that he had a name I'd never heard of before, so I dismissed it as foolish. But I persisted, and I worked at this for a long period of time, and after a while it would be that I would hear him talking to me driving down the road, or he would be in my life consistently for no matter where I was, and it had nothing to do any longer with writing. It just was a connection that was established enough that I was able to hear him.
Does that person have, that guide have a name?
His name is Cicello.
Okay. It is a different name. But I'm sure they have many different names out there.
There are many different names.
But that's not really the only masters that you have had help from. Was that particular guide? There was many others too.
Oh, there are many, many guides, and there are many beings that I've worked with. And what I've realized over time is that when you do more and more of this work, and you begin to change some of your own belief systems that are very structured, and let go of certain ideas, and let go of maybe some of the other obstructions that one carries in one's energy field over time, that the clarity started to increase. But what would also happen is that the vibration, my vibration would start to go up as I would let go of things, and higher guides would come in who had a higher vibration, so that there were many different stages along the way in terms of those that I was working with. And I would start out at one place, and then all of a sudden I would find that particular guide that I'd been working with, maybe for a year or two, would suddenly be changed unbeknownst to me, but all of a sudden everything would seem to shift and change, and then it would be someone else. And in some cases it was a test, and in other cases it moved on to higher and higher levels. So that today I work with a number of the masters and some of the angelics, depending on the given situation. And there have been some others in, you know, space, star beings, etc., that I've connected with, or galactic beings. But primarily, it's a certain vibration that one attains, and I think for some people it's far easier than it is for others. For me, it was a long process.
Was it a long process for you, maybe because of some fear that you might have had?
Well, I'm not sure that I thought about it that way before, but it certainly is possible, because there definitely were times that I was resistant. I remember at one time being told that I could be an unconscious channel and I could work very much in the way that Edgar Cayce had. And I thought, I don't want to do that. I want to know what's going on, and I want to make sure that that there isn't something that I would ever feel uncomfortable about, that I would be saying to somebody. I just did not feel comfortable with that. And yet, in some ways, it might have been a more pure form. But that was not a comfortable thing for me, so I said no to it. And there were times, yeah, there were certain things that I think I might have mentioned at an earlier point in the, when I started to do that first book. I had no idea that I was doing a book. That I was just getting information and sort of connecting in, I thought, on that given day, and information came forth about ancient Greece. And I was very freaked out about that. I thought, where could this possibly be coming from? And it made me question everything all over again, even though there was nothing different other than who I was connecting with. But from my standpoint, it certainly brought up some fear. And it just meant that I had to expand further. I wasn't allowing enough in my own thinking to embrace a greater picture.
So when you got the information about ancient Greece, was it compared to the United States?
Yes. It was very multi-layered, and it's not like anything that I've ever really read. It's in some part written a bit archaically, in other ways it's written with just great wisdom. And it talks about, in some cases, the history of people during that particular time and the difficulties that they were facing as a culture, and the changes that were occurring because there was so much outside information that was coming in. And in outside information meaning traders and products and things from other lands, and ways that people did things that were different than theirs, and Alexander, who was going across and gobbling up a great deal of the world at the time. And so they faced a number of different situations. And in that, he speaks about what his learnings and what they learned as a people and what pitfalls to avoid, and what things to think about with respect to our lives at this given point in time. And it involves inner work. It involves inner questioning and thinking about such a thing. But in the same token, it also talks about the demise of the Golden Age and the culture that they had, why it occurred, and what the similarities were in terms of our world. But in the mid-80s, this didn't seem like this was really occurring yet. And so it was, in a sense, of that which was forthcoming, and there were not too many people who were interested in reading about it, because I think that it seemed too far-fetched. And it's not, you know, it's not the easiest thing to read either, but it certainly was very informative for me, and I had to go through periods in my life in which I had very specific lessons I had to learn. So I would be writing, and then all of a sudden everything would stop, and I couldn't figure out what was going on initially when this process happened. And then I would find that I would have some life lesson or some situation that I would need to encounter, that from that situation I would glean a greater level of awareness, or I would understand the next portion of what was given in that text. So it was a teaching for me, if nothing else, and certainly been a very strong part of my understanding of the direction and the choices and the sense of importance about what we're doing, what we're choosing as a people, and the potentials that are there that we can embrace. And there's a lot of people that are still sort of mindless about all of this. And so it's been of, I think, for me, important that I talk about a great deal more than maybe what people want to listen to from time to time, but it has inspired me to do, you know, to keep this group going and to do a lot more of what we do here.
Now, the group that you're talking about, you practice, you like meet once a week or weekly?
Yeah, we meet every week. We have for, it'd be going on 18 years.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. Yes, and it's not exactly all the same people that started out, but there's a few, and I would say everybody's been with this group. Well, there's been a couple that have come back that were here for a number of years, so we're pretty solid in that regard.
And you call the meditation Anchoring Light?
Yes. We do it both a meditation and a channeling. And the Anchoring Light is something that Master Hilarion had provided along with Archangel Gabriel all those years ago, and really became the formative factor for this particular group. And it is a practice that we do to offer light to the planet and to assist in actually the work that many of us have agreed to do here, part of our mission work, that is now starting to expand into a much greater format than what we've been doing. It's this year in particular that it's all changing. And as it does change, we're going to be sending a lot of light to different places of the planet. We've been doing it before, but it's just going to be increasing. And this is something that hopefully many other people are going to be doing when I get the book finished and it goes out, and others will decide whether or not it feels appropriate for them, you know, if it's part of their calling. But I think it is, because many of us are here to bring forth more light.
You know, a lot of people keep saying, why am I here? Why am I here? And I think really the answer for that is that most people are here to do their part of making it a much better place and helping other people understand how they can do their part to also keep it a better place. But somehow we've kind of lost that, I don't know if we'd call it intention or if we would call it the knowledge somehow, but it is starting to come back a little bit. It's just a very long process. And people really don't like hearing about what's coming, especially if it's not good. You know, but sometimes the truth really needs to be told so that at some point in time people can work together to maybe change the course so it may not be as bad, or some things could possibly be changed. But without all of us working together, somehow I don't know what kind of a change is going to be or how fast it might occur.
Well, I think I totally agree with you, and I it's been a big question, because some of the channelings and things that I've put out there have not been quite as light as some of the others. And I'm not saying that they're not lighted, but I mean easy to read, because they do talk about things that we need to pay attention to. And I know that there are some people that are not as interested in that. They're wanting to hear the really lighted aspects of what people have to say. And it's almost as if you ignore the other half of the coin, it's very hard to then be motivated to go in a particular direction or to make some of the changes that need to happen, because you're not wanting to see them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been quite a journey doing all this work, because I haven't quite anticipated all of the responses that have come forth. But I really do think that it's, from my own personal being, it's been important to pay attention to a lot of what's going on as best I can, and then try to find the place where one brings in that aspect of hope and the potential of what can be created now from this place. And I think we're starting to see that. I think we're going to see a lot more of it this year. I believe that energy is going to be coming in strongly, and it certainly is something that we are working with in our little group, and hopefully is happening in many, many places.
During some of your channelings, have they channeled to you some of the earth changes that are going to be going on?
You know, I would say yes, but I would say that was at a much earlier point. It's not so much what we're doing now, except it's more as if that the conversation comes in and it speaks more about the energy of specific things and where we need to be in terms of being aligned and balanced as best we can within it. Because then, from that point, we are able to function in a much better way. So, it might be that, for example, there's going to be a new stargate that's opening, I'm told, later in March. And that a great deal of energy is going to pour through this stargate, and many people will be affected. Now, this is a very positive, lighted energy. But if one is not clearly working on levels of alignment, this particular energy might come in such a way that you find that you're behaving even in a very scattered manner and that you're having trouble focusing and getting certain things done and completed and going in too many directions all at once. So that's more the kind of thing that I would get. It might also be, I mean, at certain times I will get, like the stock market is going to be, or our economic picture is going to be all over the map. But I'm not necessarily given, unless somebody might ask, I'm not given, well, is it going to relate to this or relate to that? It's more, this is the overall energy. This is what you need to pay attention within it. This is where you need to be. Or start thinking about this part of your being because you've been paying attention to that over there. So that's kind of that's a small idea of what happens in our group. And then we're given exercises to work on so that we pay attention or we try to pay attention more so because, you know, we all have a lot of challenges here. I think at this particular time,
it's getting more so. I think so too, and for still some time to come.
Yeah.
Now, you're also talking about working on satellite configurations. Sending out in different areas of the world.
Right, that's going to be part of the anchoring light, because originally what's been happening is we create this column of light, and it's a geometric format, and it's multidimensional, so that we are the anchoring point for this energy to come into this plane. Now what's happening within, let's just imagine for a moment, a column of light. Now imagine all of these smaller versions that are kind of attached to it, or maybe even like little buttresses that will be occurring, and these are going to be, per guidance, be sent to various parts of the world. Where this energy and this light can start to assist in some of the discordant energies. And so at the same time that we're sending these, then others will come in and replace them. And what's occurring, it's not only about us, but that whatever we are doing, however many there are in our format, and which is already predetermined in terms of how we set this up, there are those beings on many different levels who are matching what we are doing, and more are starting to come in as we, in this year anyway. There's been a certain amount, but there's more coming, and so more is just going to be sent out. And I'm really hopeful that it will be assisting and that there will be other people in other parts of the world who will start to do this process as well. So it's hopefully that's going to be part of the work ahead in teaching this in different places so that we can start creating more and more light. you know, light centers in our life, in our world.
Is the configurations same as the etheric pyramids of light?
The pyramids of light are something different. our teacher, during these last, how many years is it now? 9 years, I guess, has been Thoth. And at one point, he asked our group to go to a certain location, which was on a hilltop, and for us to sit in a particular formation, and that we would be holding energy for a pyramid. So I was not particularly familiar with any of what he was asking, but we went ahead and did this. And over time, we sat there on and off throughout the entire summer. And at a certain point, and we've had certain focuses energetically that we held during that time. And at the end of that, he said that we had created, with these light lines, an etheric pyramid, and that we had anchored it to the earth, and that we now were going to be creating others, although it would be in our meditation practice, and they would be in different parts of the world, and they're etheric. And so it's a co-creative process. I don't mean to make it sound like it's all about us, because it's not. And so these pyramids, we have focused and we have breathed in the energy of love and gratitude for as long as it has taken, until I'm informed by Thoth that the pyramid has been completed and that on a higher level it is being ignited or energized in such a manner that it will be dispensing or generating the energy of love and gratitude in an area where that energy may not be very predominant. And over time we've done, I don't know, maybe 13, 15 of these pyramids. They take quite a while to do because they're large in size and we're sort of a small group. but nevertheless, it's been very interesting because where we've been guided to do them, there are things that have unfolded in parts of the world that have been tumultuous or difficult or whatever. I mean, such as one on the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. There are others that are in places that I don't necessarily know exactly why they're there. It may be that it hasn't unfolded yet or has some level of significance that is known in a higher way that I'm not privy to at this point. But in any case, that's been another way of attempting to put a certain frequency or vibration to our planet that will assist with discordant energy.
And when you say he has been, can you tell us who that he might be?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
You said he has told us.
Thoth.
Thoth?
Yeah.
T-O-T-H.
T-O-T-H.
Okay. And you've been using his information and practicing what he has told you for a while.
Yes, for quite a long time. He's known throughout history. He's most known probably during the time, early times of Egypt, and was often called the scribe of the gods. He has long since mastered this reality. And has been a wonderful, wonderful teacher and informer for us for a number of years in many different ways, you know, and techniques for us to try to, again, in our own ways, master this plane. And when I say master, it's being able to remain very aligned and to increase our vibration during these times.
Lois, if somebody would like to get a hold of you, how could they do that?
Well, generally, I would suggest emailing me. Is that appropriate?
And you want to give out your email address?
Yeah, it's okay. It's Hilo, H-I-L-O, 88, at msn.com.
Okay. Do you have a website out there?
I do. Thank you. I have a website that's going to do, that's needing some updating, but it is there. It's www.expressionsoflight.com.
It's all one word?
Yes.
Okay. Now, can you do me a favor, Lois, and give both of those out again so the people can get them?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let me do the website first. It's www.expressionsoflight.com. And my email is hilo, H-I-L-O, 88, at msn.com.
Now, you do private sessions for people.
I do. I do private private sessions to assist in areas of people's lives in which they're trying to expand their consciousness about their own life and their purpose or direction or perhaps life choices, and certainly areas of healing, and hopefully providing aspects of hope that allow them to make some choices, make better choices, make expanded choices, because when that happens, that's really when healing occurs. So, I do those sessions, and I work primarily with Master Hilarion, whom I've worked with all these years for my own healing, and he's very much with me and part of the work, the Anchoring Light, and all of the work that I've done for so long. So he primarily does private sessions. But occasionally, I will do some with Sananda or with one of the archangels or Thoth or Saint Germain, Kuan Yin, and there's a few others. But Hilarion, I'm most comfortable with, and because my work so much centers around aspects of healing. And I say that from a soul's perspective as opposed to somebody's got a sore foot, although that might be part of it. So I'm very connected with Hilarion in that regard.
How long ago did Hilarion come in?
I'm not exactly sure. I would say probably around in the late 80s.
So kind of the late...
very late. Pardon
me? The late 80s was kind of like your main big awakening, it sounds like.
I would say in the mid-80s was, and then it sort of stepped up over time, and Hilarion was a higher vibration, so he didn't come in as clearly in the early part as he did in the later part, so I'm going to say kind of the later 80s. But yes, that was a whole significant time for me, an awakening and a lot of pushing and prodding to try to get me to be somewhere other than where I wanted to be.
A lot of times that's really what it takes.
Oh, gosh. But it's not easy.
Through the course of your journey, is there anything, Lois, that you may have not quite accomplished yet that you would really like to accomplish?
Well, it's interesting that you're asking. Yes, there's probably a lot of things. I mean, my heart always wanted to go back to film and somehow taking the, bridging the gap and pulling these two things together, because media is such an important thing. But there's a whole other aspect here in which I'm aware that one of the things that was very important to me in terms of my healing, and I have a strong connection with animals, and in this case with horses, and I'm becoming more and more convinced that my healing process was also in connection when working with horses. And I'm being told, as I'm doing more lately, that chronic fatigue could definitely be assisted in having a place where people work with horses. And so there's a part of me that's wanting to develop this further, to work with a healing component in having a horse farm or a horse place, or I'm not sure exactly how to, a horse center of some sort, but a healing horse center. Sounds a little strange. And it came to me years ago in another way of working with children, particularly children who have been abandoned or who are dealing with levels of illness that this we're not dealing with terribly well in our world. And so I was thinking about it in that regard, but I'm being given a more specific area of this now, which relates to chronic fatigue and may relate to some other illnesses. But for people to be able to start, they're given a help. The horses have a healing ability, and they're given a help to be able to break through the disconnect that happens between the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies, which is part of what happens with the illness with chronic fatigue. So I would like to explore this further. I would love to be able to have a place such as this, and particularly to utilize the gifts of Valerian and the many other masters who come through to help people in this regard. I haven't yet gotten to any point of figuring out how to fund this, but I'm going to I'll let the universe try to find that piece for me.
I was going to say, you keep putting out there, you're going to get it. I have a nonprofit organization called the Child's Miracle Mind. And what I put it together for was to use the metaphysical world with all of its knowledge and wisdom to help these children who have been diagnosed with ADD, ADHD, or behavior problems get off the drugs that they are on or not ever be put on them. Because we have enough knowledge with the metaphysical world and all the ancient studies that we know that have been kind of pushed to the side, that it could be a whole new way of helping the kids find out who they are, be able to be who they are, and not be on these drugs that, for whatever reason, our society thinks that it's the easiest thing to do for kids. And so I relate to you when you talk about some of those things, because I get very, very upset when a parent comes and talks to me and they tell me that their child is, you know, really hard to deal with, and they have them on whatever they stick them on, and I don't go ballistics on that parent, but I tell them that there's many different ways to help that child, and being on drugs is not one of them. So I put this non-for-profit organization together, and I'm really in the process of trying to find money for funding the rest of it, because the rest of it would be having a school called the School of Now, which would mean this school never gets outdated, and it's a complete different system, so that we are actually encompassing all the metaphysical knowledge again to help these kids to know what they need to know. And, of course, they'll learn all the normal things that they're supposed to learn. And it's very hard to find money for it because nobody wants to change.
You know? Well, I don't know that nobody wants to change, but I think sometimes it's reaching people that maybe many of us haven't been able to do in the past easily, and we're trying. And it's one of the reasons why media is a particularly important venue, because it goes to so many other people than might happen, let's say, in a light workers network. And you never know who's going to be sparked by something that they're hearing or that they're wanting to participate in or they've just experienced somehow in their own family. And I think that that's one of the things that's important now, is trying to start to break into some of the other areas that we haven't done, at least in some of us haven't. Let me speak for myself. Some of the other areas, and it's just now getting started of finding certain people that don't know a great deal about something, but they've encountered a situation. Let's say one client that I had whose daughter was an alcoholic, and she ended up with a son who was on Ritalin, and it was not something that she ever anticipated as a grandmother, that suddenly she was going to be rearing this child. and having no idea or concept about any of this. I mean, it was not something that was on her radar screen to explore, to get into. And by her taking a step to come to someone such as myself, which she had no idea what a channel was, and mm-hmm. somebody had pointed her in this direction, it opened the opportunity for her to start to expand her thinking, to understand more possibilities, to begin to read certain books, and to begin to make a difference not only in her, in this grandson's life, but in her daughter's life as well. So that was a really helpful kind of thing. But she is somebody that would be inclined, I think, along the way to perhaps be able to put some money into assisting in a group maybe in her city or her mm-hmm. area. So who knows who's listening and, who, and what possibilities will come forth. But I think that they're going to come because nobody is being left untouched along the way about some aspect of life that they need to look at.
It's really very
so
true.
I do think we're going to be getting some help and that we've probably spent many long years trying to learn some of the things we need to know for those moments and times when they open up.
Mm-hmm. And I think, Sister Lois, we're almost out of time, so could you please give out the way people could get a hold of you again?
They could get in touch with me via email by contacting me at Hilo, H-I-L-O, at 88 at msn.com, and the website. I think you can still contact me through my website. The technical aspect of this whole process has not been my favorite. Or easiest, let's say. But you can look at my website at www.expressionsoflight.com.
Lois, it's been great having you on the show.
Well, it's been such a pleasure, and I'm glad we finally got to do this, and I thank you for the opportunity to talk with you.
You're very welcome. You take care, and I'd like to thank you, all the listeners. May God bless all of you. Have a great week. Do what you got to do to help yourself get through it, and we'll be talking next week. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.